Good morning. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, everyone. It's a lovely day to be here. And thank you for being in church this morning. I want to thank Sheila and the worship team for leading us in worship team in all the songs of worship. It's a lovely day to be bringing the Word of God on a day that our dear friend and sister Ruth is celebrating her 80th birthday, isn't it? It's a wonderful day. And when we're singing that birthday song, I was just thinking, God, what are you doing? I mean, you're just bringing everything together. We've been praying for her, and we're celebrating her birthday on a day that we're talking about the wonderful hands of Jesus in healing. So I could just go ahead and just say the benediction now. And having all that God has done, we can see clearly the testimony of God's hand, and we can just go home. Isn't it? It's wonderful. So happy birthday, Ruth. God is doing a marvelous thing in your life, and we'll continue to pray. God will uphold you with his victorious right hand and continue to perfect that which concerns you. We are here in God's house, not by accident. At this moment, it is by divine appointment. God has a message for us today, and it's a message of hope. It is a message of harmony. It is a message of healing. It is a message that resonates to the very core of our being as believers. Smith Wigglesworth once said, "This blessed book, referring to the Bible, brings such life and health and peace, such that an abundance within it that we should never be poor anymore. Poverty in spirit, poverty in health, has been taken over by the presence, the promises, and the abundance of God's help, and is found in none other but the Word of God." Amen? So, it's not about how much that we know about the Bible. It's not about how much that we enjoy the blessings that it brings and to live out its teaching, but that it truly brings joy and fulfillment in our individual lives. In the passage that was read to us today by Ron, thank you so much for reading so clearly, we see the power of Jesus' healing, his hand, and his compassion towards all the powerless. But first and foremost, you may want to ask the question, why are we talking about healing, which is the second in the series? Last week, Pastor Ross introduced the series to us, and he talked to us about Jesus' main message: the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the only message. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. And then you may think that why are we all of a sudden introducing the series and then we jump into talking about healing? Well, my response to you, if you're thinking in that line of thought, is that you look no further, because particularly when we're studying the ministry of Jesus from the perspective that Mark puts it in the book of Mark, he simply introduces to us snippets of Jesus' ministry, devoid of the details that you may find when you read other gospels. He went straight to the point. Verse 1 to 8, we looked at John the Baptist, introduction of John the Baptist. Verse 9 to 13, the baptism of Jesus and his temptation. At verse 14 to 20, Jesus calls his disciples Simon, Andrew, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. And from verse 21 to verse 28, the miracle started. Now, when you read Matthew and Luke, You have a little bit more details about Jesus' background, his genealogy, and other details about his life. And so it sort of presents to you a chronology of how Jesus was born, the prophecy, and all of that. But when you read Mark, it went for it. And so today, having introduced the series, we're going to be focusing on his ministry right ahead. Verse 21 to 28, Jesus drives out evil spirits. He was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. The spirit cried out, but Jesus wasn't ready yet at that point to let the cat out of the bag, and so he shut the spirit down. And then the focus of our message this morning, we see the healing hand of the Creator. In the passage, we see a vivid demonstration of the transformative power that flows from the touch of Jesus. First, it was Simon's mother-in-law who was ill. She was confined in her bed with a fever. They reported to Jesus. Just take note of that. They reported to Jesus. And when Jesus took her by the hand, the fever left her. This wasn't just a physical healing. It was a restoration healing that enabled her to serve those around her. Because the Bible tells us that immediately the fever left her, she got up and began to wait and began to serve them. So here we find the testament of Jesus' restorative power, which is present in his touch and his touch alone. The healing wasn't just exclusive to Simon's mother-in-law. If you read through, we see that at sunset, people from all over, the news started going around that, hey, there's a man here who healed this woman. Something is happening here. And everyone brought their family members. People all around the city brought the sick and those who were oppressed by demons. And Jesus healed many of them, freeing them from their physical and spiritual afflictions. Here we see it wasn't a selective healing. It was available to everyone who sought it. Here we find again the testament of Jesus' inclusive nature and healing. Jesus came to save all. And he demonstrated that by the healing that he brought to people. Everyone that was brought to him, whether those who believed in him or not, whether those who at that point knew who he was or not, so long as they were ill and they were brought to him, demon-possessed or not, he laid his hand, he touched them, he healed them. The healing of Jesus wasn't just about physical body. It was all about restoring the dignity and worth of these individuals. You remember, in that society at that point in time, sickness and demon possession was often seen as a result of sin or moral failure. And so Jesus knew the importance of restoring people and giving them their dignity back. So he healed, he freed them from their physical infirmity, he healed them from their spiritual infirmity as well. But also, he healed them from the social stigma that surrounded those kind of illness at that point in time. He healed them. And so he restored their dignity. Here we find the testament of Jesus' holistic nature and his healing power. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 23 to 24, Paul wrote, "May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole." Not only that, he prayed that God would put all of us together, spirit, soul, and body. Those were the prayers that Paul prayed to the Thessalonians church. And today, as I bring this message to you, I am praying that God himself, who is able to restore us wholly, totally, completely, spirit, soul, and body, will restore us completely according to his promise in Jesus' name. The healing wasn't just an event. It was a demonstration of the kingdom of God that we're talking about. The kingdom of God that was breaking into the world, it was an announcement to the powers that be, to the demonic oppression of that time, even today. It was an announcement that Jesus was making to everything and everyone who think, in fact, including the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were thinking they had held everyone under captive, under their control. He was telling them, something is happening. The Savior of the world is come. It was an announcement. So in healing the sick and casting out demons, Jesus was demonstrating the power and authority of God over all creation, including the diseases and spirits. This wasn't just about healing individuals, but about transforming the world. It was about showing forth the testament of the transformative power that God has through his touch. And Jesus demonstrated that. This is what the kingdom of God should be. If you remember last week, Pastor Rawls was preaching. And he told us, when Jesus came and he made that announcement, he was showing us in his words, this is how it should be if God were running the show. You remember that? If God were running the show, this is how it should be. And there's nothing. Look no further. This is how it should be if God were running the show. If we give ourselves to God, we submit ourselves to him, this is how it will be. This is how it should be. The kingdom of God is at hand. And none of us should be carrying infirmities, regardless of the nature, regardless of the name that is called, because God is on the throne. Some years ago, a lady by the name Margaret Craig from Hamilton, Lanarkshire in Scotland, Scottish lady, she's married to a man from Kilmarnock, if I pronounce that name correct, Kilmarnock, okay, thank you very much. And the name was named Dungowans in 1861. They had 9 children. And they emigrated from Scotland to Canada in 1879. Mrs. Gowans had a vision. She was fervently in prayer for the world missions. And she believed in world missions. And she believed so much that there are certain parts of the world that needed the touch of God as far as missions were concerned. As a result of that calling, and God's touch upon her heart, she influenced 2 of her children to become missionaries. Their first daughter, Annie, the oldest, went on to become a missionary in China in 1892. Their 5th child, called Walter, went on to a place called Sudan, the present-day northern Nigeria. And they had a friend, he had a friend called Thomas Kent, a Baptist, who was an American. He joined them in Canada. And then later on, an English guy called Roland Bingham joined them. And these 3 young lads embraced the calling that God had given Mrs. Gowans. She believed, and at that point they were told there were about 60 to 90 million people in the whole of the Sudan region who were living without a single Christian missionary. And she felt burdened to send forth missionaries to touch the lives of those untouched people. And when God touched her heart, she influenced her son and indeed his friends. They accepted. And they arrived Lagos by December 1893. They moved on to the interior, northern part of Nigeria. They started their mission work. Sadly, A year later, by December 1894, both Walter Gowans, Margaret's son, and Thomas Kent, his friend, had died from malaria-related illnesses. Only their friend, Roland Bingham, who lived, he returned to England. He told stories of their experiences. The church then remobilized and sent him back into the mission field. The Nigerian church that was eventually established as a result of that was registered in 1954. But the impacts and sacrifices of these young men led to a mission organization establishing a hospital and a school. And this was with the aim of bringing education to cater for the learning needs of the people and indeed the health of the people in that mission field. The hospital was called Evangel Hospital. Two of our sons, Nanlong and Chinlong, were born in that hospital. So many years later, in fact, the church, which is called EQUA, Evangelical Church Winning All, went on to establish a university that is named after Bingham, Roland Bingham. It's called Bingham University. That school is eventually called Kent Academy. And only recently, the church established a microfinance bank and they call it Gowans Bank, just to be named after one of those tree lights. They are a foundation of the missionary. And I want to stay because we're talking about healing and the model that Jesus taught us. The church saw the need to establish that hospital because of how this young man who gave everything, their lives, in preaching the gospel. And so, what was the model that we're seeing here? If God were running the show, he would establish that hospital. He will establish that place because he himself is an accompaniment of the healing and the power that he brings. And through that hospital, a number of people, countless, over the years, have been healed, have been touched, have been restored, have been transformed, and through that, including those who are not Christian, have received the gospel as a result of the help and the healing hands that Jesus brings through that hospital. The sacrifice of this young man has not gone in vain. It's still to this very day, because at the moment, it is called Bingham University Teaching Hospital. It has expanded, it has gone over. Over the years, lots of missionary doctors come from America, from the United Kingdom, and others, and offer their services as missionaries in that hospital. Mission. Reaching the unreached. Jesus preached the gospel. He healed the sick. The early church saw and followed and maintained that pattern. The mandate of the church is to preach the gospel, the good news, and to demonstrate the healing power of Jesus. Jesus went from village to village, all the synagogue preaching and demonstrating the authority of God over demonic authorities at that rate, and he healed many that were possessed by different illnesses. They told Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law. And all that were brought to him, he healed them. That includes Simon and Rachel, isn't it? They brought all they told Jesus about him. We've been praying and calling on God for the healing of our friend Simon. We've been praying and calling on God about Ruth Higgins, our members who are faced with different kinds of infirmities. We've talked about Ruth this morning. Carol McCain, Val and Derek, Eddie McCormick. We've been praying and trusting God for the restoration of Yolanda, who had lost family members. We've been praying and trusting God for restoration and healing in the heart of our dear friends, including Glenn. So many of us, so many of our members are facing diverse kinds of hurts and feeling. But when we pray to Jesus, there's no selection. He's not selective in his approach and his healing power. We've been praying for Ayo Oluwa, tossing and Tayo's little baby, for Jesus' healing heart, healing touch. And that is the expectation. That is the focus. That is what Jesus would do. And this is why the same thing that people did, they brought everyone to Jesus. Today we'll be praying for all these ones who prayed for and even more. All of our family members, that anyone you think about, we will be praying this morning that Jesus will reach out with his healing touch and restore them. Simon, presumably having been in Capernaum, he may listen in that synagogue hearing Jesus' unparalleled exposition of God's word, and he witnessed that amazing display of, you know, power over demonic people in the church. He invited Jesus over to his house for a meal. That's a wonderful experience, isn't it? But then when they got to his home, there was a family crisis. The same. His mother-in-law had that medical condition. She was seriously sick. She was ill from some kind of infection. We're told she was healed. You know, she had a fever. When you read Matthew or Luke, particularly in Luke, the Bible tells us that she had a high fever. Of course, you know, Luke being a medical personnel, he tells us the details on what kind of fever she was facing. It could be that she had malaria infection. We don't know. And that which caused high fever, we don't know. The thing is that she had a fever. And they reported to Jesus. What did Jesus do? They appeal to him and they ask him to help her. Did Jesus simply wait and say, look, Simon, we're here for lunch. Let's just have lunch. Then I'll think about it later on. Did she do that? No. We are told immediately. Immediately. Now, some people in church today might think that I've asked God to help me. He hasn't helped me immediately yet. Some might be thinking that, unlike the experience with Simon's mother-in-law, you might be thinking, well, I've been praying for this condition. I've been praying for this situation. I want to assure you, it's a song that we sing, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper. The second verse that sings, even though I can see it, he's walking. Even though I can feel it, he's walking. He never stops. He never stops working. He never stops. He never stops walking. The Bible tells us that he neither sleeps nor slumber. This song expresses the trust that we have in Jesus. You have to trust him. Even though you have a vision, even though you may be thinking that the present condition you're experiencing has not yet received the immediate touch of the Master, but the trust that we have in our hearts helps us to continue to sing that song, knowing fully well that his time, he will bring about the healing that we want, regardless of the situation. Jesus clearly was moved by compassion when he saw human needs, and he would act to heal, not just to make people whole, but that wasn't the sole reason. But his purpose is that once we are healed, we can become useful. We can become useful to people around us. Just like Simon's mother-in-law, once she was healed and restored, she got up and she began to offer help to people around her. Has Jesus healed you? Has Jesus healed you? Has anyone received healing from Jesus here this morning? Have you received healing from Jesus? How many have been healed spiritually? What about spiritual lives? Have we been healed spiritually? How many have been healed physically? How many have been healed personally from anxiety, from fear? Are there any who have been healed materially this morning? Think about years ago, or once upon a time, when you had no money in your pocket. There was no food on the table. And how you prayed, you trusted God. Is your story today the same that it was some years ago? How about a job? How many have been healed in seeking for a job? How many have been healed in the provision of an accommodation? There's so much to be thankful for the healing that God brings to us on a daily basis. God is faithful. He knows our needs even before we ask. Yes, he still wants us to ask. Why? Because it expresses that dependence on him. God doesn't heal us just for the benefit of our body, but he heals us so that we can be beneficial to others. Now, let's run through some few things that I want us to look at, and then we'll wrap up. First, about Jesus' healing. When he healed, how does he heal? He did so with the word or a touch. In Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 5 to 13, remember the centurion servant? We see here the same thing about the centurion servant. He said to him, "There's no need to come into my home, dear Lord. Just say the word." And Jesus said, "Go." And his child was healed. We've talked about Simon's mother-in-law. He touched her and she was restored. Secondly, Jesus healed instantly. These experiences were not progressive healings. Those he healed didn't get better gradually. A few weeks ago, we came here on a Monday evening for leadership prayers. And prior to that, all through the Christmas period, I have been suffering from a terrible migraine headache. That impacted so much of my progress at work and the time to do all the things I needed to do. And I keep struggling. So on that Monday, I came, we're about to start praying. And I mentioned to Sheila that I had a migraine headache, a terrible pain at the back of my head. I just couldn't do anything, but I was just struggling to go through. I just didn't want to give the devil a chance to say, because I had this headache, I couldn't come for prayers. I came for prayers. Little did I know that a miracle was waiting for me. Sheila and the elders prayed for me. They laid their hands on me. They prayed. They rebuked the headache. And after that, they allowed me to go home to take a rest. Friends, I'm standing before you now, completely healed of migraine headache. And ever since, all the medications that they gave me is there in the pack. I haven't taken any ever since. I am healed. Jesus heals. He heals and he heals completely. And so I remember when I was asked to preach on the subject of healing, Over the weeks, I told Sheila, I came one time and I started feeling the symptoms again. I said, no. At the point, when I was thinking about it, I said, there's something that God is trying to tell me. The devil knows that I've been asked to preach on the subject of healing, and is trying to sort of shake me up so that the power of the testimony of healing will be watered down. But Jesus is true to his word. His healing is complete. I am here as a testament of the fact that his healing is complete. And Jesus is alive. Someone might be thinking today, thinking about all the experiences that you've been through, thinking about all the prayers that have been offered in you. Your testimony might be like mine. Your testimony might be that you're still waiting and God's time is yet to reach you. Make no mistake to think that Jesus is selective in his healing or his touch. No. His promises, the Bible tells us, are yes and amen. The book of Habakkuk tells us that the prophecy is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarries, it will not lie. Wait for it, it will surely come. Thirdly, Jesus healed. And when he healed totally. We see in Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 15, a man who had leprosy, he begged Jesus, if you are willing. Luke says, immediately the leprosy left him. Mark chapter 1, verse 3 to 6, whereon read for us, a man who had shriveled hand. The healing was complete. It was instant. His hands were restored. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, a paralytic man who was lowered from the roof. Jesus healed him, and his healing was immediate. The Bible says he stood up in front of everyone. He went home praising God. The fourth part, Jesus heals all. He healed all who came to him, having various kinds of sicknesses. He left nobody. Number five, the healing of Jesus was visible. They were not vague, they were not ambiguous, they were not invisible ailments. There were ailments that were physical. You could see it, and you know that the ailments existed. And when he healed, everyone could see it. He restored full mobility to the paralyzed person. He gave full sight to the blind, full hearing to the deaf, fully cleansed those who had leprous skin. Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Even those who were his bitter enemies saw it. John 11:47 says, then the chief priest and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. They said to themselves, what are we accomplishing? They asked. Here is a man performing many signs. They could see it. And they couldn't deny it. Jesus' healing was visible. It was complete. The sixth part, Jesus raised the dead, not just those who were temporarily in comas, but he raised them from the dead. In chapter 7, chapter 7, verse 11 to 17, a young man being taken to the grave. They met Jesus on the way. He touched him. He had compassion. He touched him. He raised him back to life. Mark 5:21-43, Jairus' daughter. Jesus raised her back to death. And while he was heading to Jairus' house, you remember through that experience, the woman with the issue of blood received her healing on the way to Jairus' house. What about Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days? And Jesus brought him back to life. John 11:1. So Jesus' healing ministry showed us He showed the people. And they themselves completely said that we have never seen anything like that. And indeed, after Jesus' ascension to heaven, his disciples, the apostles, were given all the powers, the same authority, and the power of healing. And they were granted that they were granted in order to authenticate that they were with Jesus. Their healing ministries were characterized by the same features, and that marked Jesus' healing. A word, a touch, instantaneous, total healings. They were able to heal anyone. In Acts chapter 5 verse 16, we see here crowds gathered also from towns and surrounding all around Jerusalem, bringing all those who were sick, those who were tormented by impure spirits, and all of them, not just some of them, all of them were healed. Does God heal today? How does God choose to heal? Through the prayers of his people. He listens to our prayers when we pray. In prayer, we call on Jesus to work out his purpose and his promise in our individual lives. Sometimes God has alternative plans. Sometimes our desires aren't according to his will. Sometimes it is timing when his time is not right. Clearly, not everybody we can see is healed today. But if you have a need for prayer, we will be praying today and asking God to touch you with his healing. When we pray in faith and we believe. Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. He prayed that the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And all those kinds of prayers and requests will include the prayers for healing as well. He writes again in Philippians 4. He says, don't just be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition and thanksgiving, make your request known to God. We will be making those requests known to God this morning. Do you want to make your request known to God? They told Jesus about her. He took her by the hand, and immediately she was healed. I know you have prayed. I know you have prayed. I know you are praying about that condition. I know you are praying about that situation. The doctors may have told you something scary. The doctors may have given you a report, and you are unsure what to do. And you may be here this morning, and you're about to throw in the towel. You're about to just give up and say, well, that's it. Anything happens, let it go. Can I ask you to allow us this morning to join our faith with yours and to present whatever it is that you're facing to Jesus in prayer? He is compassionate. He is a compassionate God. I don't have to be anxious about anything because I know who he is. And I know that he's changed so many situations. And I know that I can present my prayers and requests to him. And I know that he neither sleeps nor slumber. The kingdom of God is at hand. Acts 10:38. God has anointed Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good, healing everyone that was under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We will pray this morning. I want to give you an opportunity so we can pray for you. I'm going to ask Pastor Rose and Pastor Sheila, please, if you can, come on. We will pray. What is it that you want us to pray for this morning? What needs do you have? What issues are bothering you in your mind at the moment? What conditions, what infirmities? Jesus healed, but they reported the issue and the situation to Jesus. They told Jesus about her. Would you allow us to tell Jesus this morning about whatever it is that you're facing? Whatever condition, whatever it is that is burdening your heart, I want to give you an opportunity so we can pray with you. And we'll bow our heads to prayer. If you're here this morning and you have anything you want us to pray for, Jesus healed. Jesus touched. Jesus restored. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He is a promise keeper. He is a light in the darkness. Jesus heals everyone.